Hey, welcome back to Heart of the Savior Ministries. And as you know, we have had a very special guest who's been traveling to Portland each month to share with us his heart for all of God's children as to how to walk through these days, the end times, with grace, joy, and hope with God, and with wisdom and discernment and endurance. So Dr. John Swanson joins us once again from Endurance Ministries, and this ministry speaks to the eschatological, boy, that's hard for me to say, John, eschatological end times as written in the Bible. So back in April of this year, Dr. John spoke about the wave concept of what is to come, and we felt it so relevant that I have asked him to once again review with us this concept because we have received so many requests for more information, and because there are now additional resources tied to this biblical appeal. So we also want to make you aware of those helpful tools, those aids. Mm-hmm. So, John, welcome back to the program. And one thing I can count on is good biblical truth, the truth that matters, when you come to share with us. So we've titled the program back in April, Crucial Waves of Bible Prophecy. So why don't you share with us why this title?
Okay, and today's title is broadcast... Crucial Waves of Bible Prophecy. That's so it's a kind of a revision of it. But, well, in these two titles, Leslie, we're simply seeking to present Bible prophecy in the context of a way that's familiar to most. So as waves come in progression, ocean waves, so too do the prophetic waves. They come in progression, chronology.
Okay, so I guess that's why this was so well received, because it was down to earth, easy to understand, and for us visual people, you know, I see waves. So when you're talking about these waves, I see the waves. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry to interrupt you. So
okay, no.
Please outline these waves again.
Okay. Well, here's the waves as we're presenting them in light of biblical truth. Okay. Wave number one, birth pains, those that are found in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8. Growing secular lifestyles, as outlined in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. And these styles, these lifestyles, come as fruit from the global conquering toward an anti-God perspective. And this is found, as we understand it, in seal number 1 of Revelation 6. So there's influence and people respond in negative ways, Matthew 24, 2 Timothy 3. Wave number 2. The adverse global conditions like famine and tribulation and great tribulation occur. Revelation 6, the seals 2 through 5, Matthew 24, 9 through 22 are some passages that address, that are a part of the second wave things. We've covered these two earlier waves in February broadcasts. You can listen to these previous radio sessions by going to the archived radio broadcasts posted on the heartofthesaviorministries.org site. So I'd encourage you to do so.
John, I know that this has been one of the biggest questions we've received. What happens after the Great Tribulation?
After the Great Tribulation is cut short, the Word of God states other things will take place before His return to the earth. This is contrary to some of the popular end-time views in some churches today, which teach that, well, right after the tribulation takes place, then the Lord returns to the earth. But the Bible teaches that there will be awesome signs in the heavens. Immediately after the tribulation, there will be these astronomical signs. So Revelation 6, 12 through 13, 12 and 13 puts it in this way. Quote, I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of the heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. So this astronomical display will include the shaking of the earth and without exception will capture the attention of all mankind. And yet another heavenly sign will follow the astronomical ones. After the sun darkens and the moon turns blood red, the initial appearing of the Lamb of God will take place as the heavens scroll apart.
John, can I read that next account?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Revelation, so that would be six. Revelation 6 going on in 14 through 17.
Yes.
Okay, so then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? I'd like to stop there, and I'd like to point out that our Lord Jesus Christ himself described this very event in a slightly different way in Matthew 24, and that's verse 30. So Matthew 24, verse 30. Mm-hmm. It says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. When Jesus speaks, you know, John, I take it seriously. So in this case, he was describing this to his disciples in such a way that I would think we all should take heed and be prepared. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And folks, please see our frequently asked questions, number 6 and 10 at endmin.com for an important clarification on this topic of God's wrath. So Leslie, yes, our Lord gave this counsel, not for his sake alone, but for ours too. So yes, indeed, we need to be about what he has counseled, that his people in Christ Jesus, his Son, be in a state of readiness, ready expectancy, as we long for his initial appearing.
Well, let's move on and transition to the third wave of prophetic events. And it's a pretty significant transition from wave 2 and 3, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, these two events, which indeed take place between waves 2 and 3, these two heavenly events are significant indeed. Actually, the sign of the Son of Man begins the eschatological day of the Lord, and we've outlined that in a chart that's available online. Well, folks can visit that online chart, endmin.com, frequently asked question number 41 addresses that. And there's also a posted chart, frequently asked question number 60, that's on the same site that we encourage people to go to for visual aid purposes, helpful clarification.
Well, John, and I cannot tell you, how many listeners have expressed their appreciation for your FAQs to help them better understand and discern. It has been really nice to get that kind of feedback, and I thought you should know too.
I appreciate that, and we've received some encouraging response too. It is encouraging to hear. So, okay, the third wave, as we're describing end time things in waves, would be the actual trumpets of Revelation chapters 8 through 11. Wave number 4, following the seventh trumpet, which we believe is the last trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52, following the final trumpet rapture gathering, the fourth wave will begin. The Bible calls this period the bowls of wrath because, listen carefully, because his bride, the church, will not incur the bowls of God's wrath. We are kept from the hour of trial upon the earth, as it's described in Revelation 3:10. We miss experiencing this gathering of the vine of the earth for God's wrath to be poured out. We miss it. Important.
John, you know, I want to thank you for clarifying this for our listening audience, as I know that most people really are not clear on what happens. And to be honest, none of us want to incur the wrath of God, right?
Amen.
You know, it's frightening to think about that.
It's a big deal.
Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 also speaks to our missing the wrath of God. And whereas what you have shared is or should be extremely sobering, yet we have hope.
Yes, we do.
And just like a tsunami, the waves keep coming, right?
They do. But for the sake of sound doctrine, that is biblical doctrine, we need to understand a crucial piece of Bible prophecy. And it's this. The tribulation and the great tribulation period as defined by our Lord Jesus in Matthew 24 is not the wrath of God.
Okay, folks, I want you to hear what he just said. This is not the wrath of God.
It's the wrath of the world, and the wrath of the world in part, fostered by fallen Lucifer, is not to be equated with the wrath of God. Read Matthew 24 without reading into it some author's definitions of tribulation and great tribulation. In fact, we would encourage you to do a biblical study on tribulation, and you'll be shocked as to how some of these prophetic voices are misdefining those words, tribulation, great tribulation. So all we're asking is that we allow the Lord Jesus to define his own terms. If we see these end time things in his light, our chronology of end time Bible prophecy will look a whole lot different than the ways some charted today. So let's resume the waves. Let's do so by reviewing what we've covered so far.
Okay, I want to repeat something you just said. Let's see if I can do this as close as can be. If we see these end times things in His light.
Yes.
His light. Our chronology of end time Bible prophecy is going to look a whole lot different.
It does.
Than the way it's being charted by some today, right?
Charted, and the top three popular end time views in churches will be exposed.
Okay. Okay, let's see if I can do this for you, and if I can get it, anybody can. So, wave one, birth pains in general, global apostasy against God. Wave two, adverse global conditions, famine, tribulation, great tribulation. Wave three, the trumpets of Revelations 8 through 11. And wave four, the event of the final trumpet rapture gathering. So this brings us to wave five.
Yes, and wave five is what the Bible calls the second advent, or the coming of Christ to the earth, where he, as described in Revelation 19, defeats the global army which had been gathered together to battle the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. This means the means is precious. That which he uses to defeat this army is so appropriate. And you can read about this in Revelation 19. It's precious. But in order to complete the seven ways of end-time Bible events, we need to mention additional ways before we conclude today's.
Okay.
Let me move on to wave six. Wave six is God's millennial reign through his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. This time when he rules with righteous judgment, or judgment that we long for given our abominations of the day, it'll be such a blessing, Leslie. The injustices will be laid aside. Well, at the end of this thousand-year reign of Christ, the dragon, scripture says, will be led out of the pit for one final round of rebellion against the one true God. Scripture says Satan's efforts of warfare will include great deception, whereby he is able to gather one last army to battle God.
It doesn't seem possible after going through all of that he could still gather one more army.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's amazing, but it's true. As he does gather and rally the world against God, in preparation for the Revelation 19 battle as well. And that's why what we made reference to in our last airing program, this conditioning through some of the movies like Independence Day. Wow, why is this happening? Well, it's prophetic. Just read the word and you'll be surprised. Well, the scripture says that the fire will come down from God out of heaven and will devour the army of the dark one.
Woohoo!
And that's yet future, but it's fact.
It's fact.
It's done deal, so in one sense, it's historical because God knows the future. He's communicated it truthfully. Okay, so the devil will then be cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet have dwelt since the end of the Revelation 19 battle.
So, John, we've given quite a bit of information here. Is there a posted visual aid on these waves for our folks?
Actually, yes, and that's a part of the new information that this other broadcast today is bringing. So it's found at currentmatters.org. In our blog section. So just go to blog 2316, that's blog number 23 in 2016. You'll find important information which has brought helpful clarification to many. This information also speaks to our final victory over darkness. Yay! So
yay!
I say, thank you, Lord. Amen.
You know, this is sobering, John, but so encouraging in that darkness will indeed finally be put in its proper place.
Yes.
And we've made it through six of the ways. What has to just happen, transpire now before the seventh and final wave?
It's a blessed one. But let me touch upon one additional event which will take place before the seventh wave of end times things unfold. So the seventh wave actually issues in eternity and could be said to be the close of human history. But once again, the final event serves to conclude the sixth wave. So it's the final judgment before eternity begins, eternity beginning with the creation of a new heaven and a new earth. So please listen carefully. The great white throne judgment takes place. This judgment includes the judgment of every human being, the righteous in Christ, his sheep, and this is tied to the gospel information in Matthew. They will be issued into eternal life with God in the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. Those who have rejected the salvation of God through Jesus Christ, his Son, will be cast into the lake of fire. Yes, friends, those who say no to God's gift of forgiveness of sin, new spiritual birth and life in Jesus Christ the Savior, the goats, they will go to the eternal home they preferred. And we don't want that for anyone. God doesn't want that for anyone. But as a matter of fact, that's what will happen. Well, because they freely rejected eternal life, God, they will suffer God's righteous condemnation through eternity, which does bring us to the wave number seven. The title wave number seven is appropriate in that it employs a number symbolic of perfection. The seventh wave is eternal, where the ugly things are passed away and the eternal state of each member of humanity unfolds, both those in Christ, beauty, glorious, those of the devil, in sorrow and shame and gnashing of teeth, Scripture says.
You know, I knew there was a symbolic nature to the seventh wave, and since eternity is a long time, like forever, I'd like to close our broadcast today by once again offering the gift of eternal life to our radio listeners. Do you mind?
Oh, so important, so appropriate. And dear listening audience, if you are indeed an unbeliever today, this part of the broadcast is the most important appeal for you, so please listen and be open. In fact, let me pray. Lord, please soften hearts to your good news as Leslie once again shares your gospel with our radio audience. Please, in Jesus Christ's name.
You know, our mission at Heart of the Savior Ministries is to bring hope to those who've lost all hope and to bring about a restoration of relationship with our Father God and this refreshing in your life by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Your life matters to us. So, let me share with you that our hope rests in the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He came to this earth through His Father to restore us to a rightful relationship with Father God, and that by asking forgiveness for our sins, we can have a new life, eternal life through Him. And John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's that simple. Won't you join me in this declaration of truth? I can't impress upon you enough the importance of what has been shared with you today. This is a matter of your eternal standing with or without God. John, I don't know about others, but I know for me, as I've studied the end time Bible prophecies, it can be pretty difficult to grasp. Please tell me it's the same for you. I look up to you because you have such knowledge and wisdom, and this has been your life. So please tell me you've had yours too.
Yes, it is indeed. The complexity of end-time chronology is almost mind-boggling, especially due to all the confusion that comes through false teachings on this topic of the end, a topic that honestly has now become a crucial topic. But God illumines through the ministry of His Holy Spirit, and He brings understanding for those who seek Him. So that's my claim to fame. John Swanson has nothing to offer you, but the Word of God has everything to offer. Go there for insight second to none.
Amen. Thank you for letting me know that I'm not the only one.
Yeah. It is tough at times. Well, Leslie, in seeking to be most helpful to our family in Christ, helpful in the practical way, so the asking of the question, how should we be living today, kinds of questions, we will continue ministry through Endurance Ministries Front. So thank you by allowing us to be a regular guest on your program. We're grateful.
Oh, it's you I wish to thank for coming all this way, John. I really want to thank you because you do travel quite a distance to get here regularly. But would you now help me as to where we go with our discussion today?
Well, let's go back, if we could, to the second wave stuff for which we need to be preparing today, as opposed to dealing with the not-so-practical-to-us stuff, like the details of the bowls of wrath or millennial issues. We want to offer practical eschatology.
Good.
This doesn't mean we're saying the tribulation period will necessarily begin this year or next, but it does affirm the many Bible passages which counsel us to be ready for the days before the Lord's return. That's a part of being ready. And once again, we can find huge insight in these Bible passages about the waves at currentmatters.org at blog 23. So at this time, the church today needs to be like never before since the early church. We need to be sincerely preparing for, number one, further global unrest expressed nationally and locally. Number two, earthly disasters which affect food and water availability. Things like, number three, tribulation, and eventually, once the abomination of desolation is set up, the Great Tribulation.
As I hear this, I sense that we're living in the early stages of the second wave. Am I right?
Great question, Leslie. Yes, it's getting to be not only possible that we're in the beginning stages of the second wave era, as we've defined it, but it's becoming probable we are now starting to see these post-birth pain signs. Given our Lord's instruction that we be sober, watchful, prepared, ready, discerning, so the day of the Lord does not catch us as a surprise, like a thief in the night. No, it doesn't. 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about this. We're simply calling His church, those born again in Jesus Christ, to heed His instructions toward readiness. And this is nothing short of preparedness as defined by biblical end time data.
That's what I love about you. Biblical stuff. The Word.
The Word.
Let's take the truth of the Word.
He has the answers.
He has the answers. So, listening guests, please visit Dr. John's websites for crucial edifying counsel from God's Word, counsel specifically relating to living in our days before our Savior's initial appearing. You can visit two of his websites. One is enduranceministries.org or endmin, so that's endmin.com, for Christ-honoring, Bible-affirming help. And visit Heart of the Savior Ministries website, too, at heartofthesaviorministries.org to hear past broadcasts with Dr. John on this topic. John, if there were one thing you'd like our audience to go away with today, what would that be?
We've already hinted at it throughout the broadcast, and we just said it, but let me say it in these words. We are sincere when we say, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Word of God, has everything to offer you as He has so outlined by way of receiving Him. But He's also safeguarded His revelation of counsel and protection in His Word, the Bible. And so what I would encourage is that if people want insight whereby they can discern our present culture as weird as it's become, they need to go to the Word of God. And let me read a portion of Scripture that if you're reviewing your memory verses from our worldview class,
This
will be familiar to you. So here we go. It's beautiful. Forever is your word, O Lord, settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances for all of your servants. Talks about the word in verse 97 then. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Mm-hmm. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. And the context is secular teachers. Why? For your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancient ones because I keep your precepts. And then, as it highlights in the next section of this great psalm, Psalm 119, it says, Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
Amen, amen. God's word is there for us to take and learn and grow and discern everything that comes to us, comes up against us. Everything that we walk through, His word will direct us through it.
Amen.
It's true. And it's faithful.
Oh, He is faithful.
To all generations,
mm-hmm.
including me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, John, it's time to say farewell again to our audience. I thank you once again for coming in and sharing with us. We look forward to seeing you again in September. Folks, I can hardly talk now. Our programming here on KPDQ comes because of financial supporters like yourself or corporate sponsors to help keep us on the air presenting the good news of Jesus Christ. So get a hold of us if you'd like to be one of those. John, thanks again for joining us. And for those listening, we hope you go away refreshed, restored, renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you'll make God's word the every breath that you take this week. You can rely on His word. So as always, in His service, this is Reverend Leslie Nelson and my guest, friend, mentor, brother in Jesus Christ, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries.